አልበላህም ለሸይጣን ነው እንጂ ምስራቅ Assalamu alaikum, good morning, Dope Muslim Woman Podcast family. This is your girl, Sabria Mills, the host, content creator, and facilitator of dialogue of the Dope Muslim Woman Podcast, as well as the owner and coach of the Behavior Coach LLC. And alhamdulillah, I'm coming on with another live. We are in between seasons. I always like to give a little bit of, you know, where we are update before I start talking. We're in between seasons. We are approaching, inshallah, in the new year, the Dope Muslim Single Experience. For those that have submitted a request to be a part of the experience, you should be receiving a confirmation email in regards to your entry before the end of this weekend. And so I'm looking forward to connecting with each and every one of my singles throughout this experience. So alhamdulillah, we're going to talk a little bit about some things today, just doing a lot of like introspection and thought, and you know, I had some highs and lows in my own emotions and my own feelings since doing Walaikum Salam, good morning, since doing the Dope Muslim Woman single. Brother Michael, did you intend to come into the live? If you did, just let me know, because I see that you requested. Yeah, so I have my own like ups and down feelings since we did our first teaser, the Dope Muslim Woman Single Experience. And, you know, just kind of feeling a little bit like, I don't know, like hopeful, but at the same time, really reflective about this process. So Brother Michael, you wanted to come in on a live? Okay, just give me a second to start the conversation. Just be a little patient with me. I'd be more than happy to have a conversation, but I want to at least open up the dialogue so that it's a structured conversation between the two of us. So you definitely are welcome to come in. Anybody can always join the live. But again, we want to make sure it's like, you know, it is structured dialogue. So today, alhamdulillah, we're talking about why he or she just can't get it together, child, you know, because those are a lot of the conversations that we're hearing that is being had amongst singles and even amongst married folks, you know, where they, you know, there's an element or there's a concern around functional versus dysfunctional behavior. And how that tends to show up when people decide to partner up and get into relationships. And I think that this is something that requires consistent conversation and dialogue and deeper dives. I mean, you know, the reality is, you know, if you're looking at this from a space of like just stats and what's really going on out there, the reality is that, you know, there is a concern around functionality, around people, human beings, adults, having the necessary skills, being parented properly, being modeled, having had the tools being offered to them, passed down from one generation to the next, to be able to handle adulting, right? And whether that is relationships or holding down a family or holding down a checkbook or maintaining a job, but just pure adulting and being able to be functional with that, you know, that's a really great concern. You know, right during this time. It's less, salamu alaikum, hey everybody, how you guys doing? It's not so much the issue that there's not people, there's not bodies, like adults, that are out there that are available to be partnered or for marriage. That's not really the issue. There's about one man to one woman on the face of this earth, statistically, and Allah knows best, right? But when you talk about suitable, functional adults that are able to, like I said, have the skill sets to be able to navigate the challenges of adulthood, that's an entirely different conversation, right? Before I came on this live, I was, you know, doing some research and I came across a statistic that said, you know, this is, we're living in a time where it's the lowest number. Like we're living in an era now, or this is a time that we're approaching where we have the lowest number of marriages, right? So people are just not getting married anymore, right? That's just across the board, across, you know, with at least within the United States. That's across ethnic, racial lines, religious lines. That's just the thing now. And, you know, some of the researchers have been trying to dig up as to the why. Why are people choosing not to be married? And of course, we know as Muslims, there's a lot to do with us approaching just a time where there's a lot of fitna and a lot of confusion. And everybody's doing the opposite of what they should be doing. And so that's the time and era that we're in. We have all the signs around us. But statistically, just based on what they found that there were people are rejecting the idea of partner up because of not, again, finding people that are suitable to be able to maintain a dual life with, right? Like financially, economically, psychologically, emotionally, like actually being able to choose a suitable person that you can adult with, that you can navigate life with. That is really challenging, and people are just deciding to just, you know, just kind of go off on their own and do their own thing, or not really like partner up out of fear of losing autonomy or losing, you know, economic independence, etc. And so these are some of the findings, and again, this is outside of the scope of the Muslim community, but I just came across it and I thought it was interesting. Alhamdulillah, walaikum salam. Hey everybody, hey. So he, she just can't get it together, right? So mashallah, so, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about this this idea of like functional versus dysfunctional, just being able to get to the point of functionality, being able to function, handle adulthood, despite your experience. You know, one thing I've learned as someone who really is a lover of human behavior and a lover of, you know, the power that the human being possesses within, with that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants the human being to be able to modify any harmful behavior, right? We have the capacity to rectify any sin, any blameworthy trait, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us those tools and the capacity to do so. And you can actually, you can have a whole life of a bad habit. We have so many examples of this in our sirah and our sunnah of horrible habits. So there was a case of a man who just constantly couldn't help, but he just murdered people that he would come across. And then, you know, there can be something within the human being that shifts and creates a complete behavioral shift and change. So there's no, I don't hold the belief that people who had like really rough childhoods, trauma, experience, you know, systematic racism or whatever, can't or do not have the tools, okay, independent of their, you know, experience, gifted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they're just in their being, their the reality of them being a human being, to shift and change, right? And a person may not know how to do that, but you do still have the capacity, right? So I wanted to talk a little bit about that. And this is just, first of all, I wanted to address this whole idea. Hey guys, assalamu alaikum. When we're, you know, why, right? So what are some of the reasons why he, she can't get it together? He, she, or I, right? I said he, she, but really like this is, I'm always like, let's start first with the self and let's kind of look deep within us. And sometimes even with us, we may be like big time procrastinators, or we may be really feeling like we're in a stuck place, or we're constantly having anxiety or depression, or maybe just like we have a very overly activated nervous system, right? We're always on the edge. We constantly see, we constantly have a lot of challenges and trials in our lives, etc. And so it's always, that's always a calling, you know. So Allah's always guiding us. He's always guiding us out of His love and mercy. It's always a calling to go deeper. When I'm really, really here, I know it's a calling to go deeper. I know there's some sort of shift that needs to occur. There's some sort of change. There's something that needs to happen because things are not in alignment. And I think that's also just somewhat reflective of the journey of the human being as you kind of like, you know, as we're striving on this path back to Allah. There's never a full feeling of like being completely settled, especially for the believer, the one who's on this pathway, because we're always striving. So we're always kind of going to the next level. All right, but so this is some of the reasons why. And so I'm just looking at this. This is Sabriya putting on her behavioral analytical cat, okay? So walk with me here. So these are some of the behaviors or some of the traits when a person is having a difficult time with kind of getting it together, pulling it together, being functional in an adult intimate relationship or just with adulting, right? The first one I would say would be self-loathing or poor self-esteem. This is a really big issue, and I'm going to mention things that perhaps are maybe more deeply, deeper, excuse me, deeply layered in a person's subconscious, right? This may not always be in the conscious mind of the person. Like, I have low self-esteem, or I don't really like myself, or things like that. It may not always be on the conscious forefront, but it will show up in a person's behaviors. And a person that has this sort of fundamental belief or struggling with this idea of just not really having a good relationship with oneself, or even a good sort of hope or opinion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the sense of like with their creator as it relates to, you know, their ability to be better, to transform, to do things well, etc., like having any element of hope, just have poor self-esteem, experience a lot of self-loathing, these individuals are going to really show up very problematic, especially in partnerships, any form of a relationship. If I don't have a good relationship with myself, what is that? Especially if it's deeply rooted in my shadow, right? That means in my subconscious, unconscious mind. That's going to show up in a couple of forms. I'm going to be doing something simultaneously. I'm going to be rejecting and projecting. I'm going to be rejecting a lot of good in my life. I'm going to be rejecting a lot of love. I'm going to be rejecting, anything that sort of promotes the ideas that I am good, I am worthy, that I am lovable, etc., because that's not the fundamental belief that I have. So I'm going to be rejecting that. I'm also going to be projecting out probably pretty harmful behaviors as a result of that. And so that sometimes can be a big factor. I see a lot of people, especially, certain demographics, even within our community, when you see people just not getting it together, like they're totally functional, healthy adults, but they can't like hold down a job, or they constantly have a lot of excuses as why they can't do this or can't do that. And they're constantly in a cycle of this person and this relationship and this person has an issue and that person has an issue. And they're constantly like in that space. A lot of times it does, go directly back to their relationship that they have with themselves. And that's just an important thing to tackle, especially I think as Black people here, is really, the reason why this conversation is really important for us is because, like, we were, systemically attacked as it relates to our self-esteem, our self-worth. We were cut off from our lineage, our land, our culture. And so kind of redefining that for ourselves, especially with, this sort of cloud of like white supremacy, has contributed to a breakdown in the person's self-esteem. And, this isn't an excuse, it's just a conscious reality. It's just a reality of a fact of what happened. And it doesn't mean that just because that happened, that person cannot be aware of it and really do something about it, right? But that's reason number one. Number two would be, wa alaikum salam, guys. I'll come back to you in just a minute, Brother Solomon. Number two would be self-deceit or deceit of others. And this is where we, where a person that really just can't get it together or is in this sort of, no, because it's hot. Yeah, is in this sort of pattern of kind of repeating a similar cycle, especially, like I said, in their adult experiences, whether it be relationships, parenting, holding down a job, their relationship with money, all of that, right? There's a lot of deceit and deception there. So there's a lot of like, there may be, a person may be masking themselves to really deal with the, reality of life. Like they're not really showing up as their authentic selves. They're really being, they're not living in integrity with them, but with their own selves, right? They may be deceiving others. They may be out of integrity, out of alignment, and you're kind of cutting corners. You're trying to figure things out. Perhaps a person doesn't necessarily maybe have the skills, for example, let's say, or struggles with the skills of being able to sustain or access finances, money. Like just don't have the skills. Obviously, there may be a lot of societal challenges or social challenges as it relates to their relationship with money. But instead of that, they'll be out of alignment, not of integrity, and cut corners. They'll begin to be deceitful or deceive or rob or steal or, cut corners, etc. These are things, if that is a behavior there, you best believe you are going to be dysfunctional. You're not going to be able to function. A person that is participating in acts of deception, whether it's even deception with their own selves, right? Perhaps, just self-deceit. They are going to be completely out of alignment. They're not going to be able to show up in a functional way in a relationship. And so that could be a big, big part of it. Don't ever expect if you got someone that's robbing, stealing, lying, conniving, and is, you know, kind of low down with some of their behaviors and some of their actions to be able to absolutely represent being a functional person in a union with you. It just doesn't, that doesn't make sense, right? There's going to be deceit and deception in every area of their lives. So, subhanAllah. All right. Okay. The third one would be mental health, man. Mental health, anxiety, depression, these things that are very, very real and valid. Our mental health, and there's a lot of things that just contribute to the breakdown of that, but a person who's struggling mentally, psychologically, and there's other things that are happening in the brain, just on a neurological level, just every, you know, neural pathway isn't, you know, connecting the way that it should or what have you. And may Allah make it easy for each and every one of us. That is definitely going to contribute to a person not being able to quite pull it together. And so a person that's constantly like anxious and just has an overly activated neural nervous system, depression, you know, hypervigilance, all these sort of things, bipolar, all these sort of things that, you know, mashallah, there is support out there for those, and we want to make sure that those who are struggling with that, they feel the need to reach out, and there's no shame around it. But it can contribute, right? It can contribute to a person not being able to function well, or a person not being able to appear like they can't quite get it together. And sometimes these things are just not on the surface and we can't see it, right? That's why I love behavior, because behavior is communication, right? You may not tell me, or I may not see the super glaring signs that there's a mental health challenge, but in your behavior, especially your repetitive, compulsive behaviors, is usually an indicator that perhaps there may be a challenge that would require additional support to navigate through. Like if you're a really overly anxious person, that's going to really show up in your day-to-day decisions and your day-to-day actions and your day-to-day interactions, right? If you're severely depressed, or if you constantly go through like mania, depression, highs, lows, etc., that's definitely going to show up in how you function, or even your sustainability with being functional. And so these are things that definitely contribute to it. All right, number four, why he, she, or I can't get it together. Oh gosh, this is the biggest one. This is the biggest one, which is self-sabotage. And this number four is related to number one. Remember, number one was low self-esteem and self-loathing. Number four is self-sabotage. Why do people sabotage? See, this self-sabotage happens in the subconscious. It is a unconscious behavior typically. People are not aware that they're sabotaging their relationships. People are not aware that they're sabotaging their, you know, their experiences, their jobs, their, you know, their relationships with their kids. They're not really aware, because it's deeply connected to the relationship that they have with themselves, and deeply connected to their core belief that they have about what they're actually worthy or deserving of. So let's say, for example, and I've seen this so much, you know, may Allah help us. May Allah protect us for any of us that are navigating this, because it's really common where a person, you know, may have had some struggles early on, and Allah blesses them. Allah blesses them with, let's just say, a good partner, a good person comes into their life, and they're not really able to see that, okay, because of probably their own inner shadow, their own, you know, kind of, and when I say shadow, what do I mean? I mean the part of you, it's a theory by Carl Jung, and I mentioned this before in another live, and it is the part of you which is on the unconscious, which is your unconscious part of you that you reject, that you hide from. It has a lot to do with the ego, right? And, you know, shadow work is all about making the unconscious conscious, right? So a person typically involved in self-sabotaging behavior, they're not quite aware, right? They just don't feel good, or they often, you know, can't see the goodness in others. Why? Because they don't see the goodness within themselves, and they're projecting. It's just a projection of what you have here, right? Or of your core beliefs. And so this person or this new relationship becomes that. And a lot of times people, you know, on a deeper level, they may not feel worthy of being loved. They may not feel worthy of real connection, real bonding, having a good life, being successful, being a good parent. People will sabotage those relationships and those experiences And that, oh my God, that's a very dysfunctional sort of habit and behavior. And a lot of times, you know, and it's important, like if you're in partnership, to understand what self-sabotage is and what it looks like. Because sometimes you may not know, you may see someone engaged in a very harmful behavior, doing something out of the blue, and it's like, why, you know, what is wrong with them? Like, why would they do that? Or what is going on? And a lot of times people are involved in self-sabotage. They're like, they're in a deeper part within them, they don't feel worthy of this. They don't want it. Actually, it interrupts their programming. It challenges it too much, right? It makes them feel like, it actually makes them feel like something's wrong. Like they actually, this is dysfunctional because their normal is dysfunction, right? So they begin to think what is not normal or what goes against that trend or what goes against that maybe harmful dysfunction that they grew up on, etc. They may then begin to feel like that's not normal. It's not normal. Why this person? I can tell you how many times, right? A person who's, you know, has their own stuff going on, and they'll come to a new city where people are kind and nice, and like, why is everybody all nice? Why is everybody smiling? Oh, she's fake or he's fake because why are they smiling, being nice to everybody? And it's all just projections, right? Because what that person deems as normal is this sort of dysfunctional behavior where it involves, you know, aggression and fighting and anger and all hostility, and that's normal. So like now you know, maybe perhaps your partner or someone is trying to show you love and kindness and softness, you know, that you can't receive that, right? And so you self-sabotage, and that's very, very, very real, right? And it's really difficult to love or support someone who's involved in self-sabotage. The best thing I've found, you know, I've had a partner who's really addicted to self-sabotage. And the best thing you can kind of do is make them aware, but it requires deep work around that. Because that's about shifting a core belief. Like that's about shifting an unconscious behavior. Like in order to do that, it has to come to the conscious mind, right? In order for you to shift it. All right, I'm gonna catch up on some of your comments. If there is a will, there is definitely a way for that individual to achieve what they desire. That will has to be within Allah's will, not our own, Brother Solomon shared. And Brother Michael shared, Muhammad, I'm assuming you mean for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, said men marry women for three reasons: beauty, money, status. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said marry a woman for her faith. So that, with that said, this applies for men and women. Yet the social feeding of society has us feel us an image, fed us an image of a good man and woman, whether they are broken hearted or not Islamic, is a weapon with the cure. This topic is lovely. Alhamdulillah, thank you. And I think you mentioned something really beautiful. You really simplified it, but I do think you mentioned something beautiful where it's like we do have to be really aware and conscious as we're kind of having these conversations about, like, you know, societal ideals of what, you know, the concept of the one, right? I have an issue with the concept of the one, or the one that I often hear. I think we interviewed a couple sisters on the teaser, and, you know, we get to hear it a lot, but it's like, you know, this concept of, like, you know, I'll, you know, the one, I'm waiting for the one, or this one that's just all the way right. And that has to be unpacked. That has to be unpacked. But let me not digress. A lot of us, according to Brother Aziz, are so used to coming up in a system of dysfunction that there's no clue of what a functional situation is. Very true, right? Very true. That's what we're speaking of. Yeah. Sister Monica said, just realized today that I engage in, is it a limerence with unavailable people due to my trauma and upbringing. SubhanAllah. That's a good reflection. It's a good thing to allow to come to the conscious mind. Sister Sophia said, may Allah protect us and assist us in marrying well-balanced and healthy mates. Allahumma ameen. And may Allah allow us to have reflect that within ourselves in the way that He sees fit for us. Because my healthy may not be your healthy based on the experience and the gifts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you. Just like my healthy here in America and in Detroit right now may look different from a person's healthy in Somalia, right? SubhanAllah. So this journey is also about being really, really open and really surrendering to the will of Allah, subhanAllah. Okay, so the last one I'm going to say about, you know, when I ask this question of why he, she, or I can't get it together, it is self-absorption or an inflated ego. And again, this is also connected back to having a low, poor self-image, right? And an inflated ego is simply merely just an overcompensation for a deeply rooted belief around one's, or around oneself, right? Around a deeply rooted insecurity. And so, but this is a real barrier, right? Someone who's really like just all, just super self-absorbed, super into themselves, can't really see beyond themselves. That's a component of an emotional stunt, a lack of, full or appropriate development as it relates to as a person emotionally maturing. And so typically, like, you know, we speak about this a lot, but, you know, children, if you think about if anybody, if you guys have children or you raise children, you understand the self-absorbed me stage. But that's really early on. That's when the kid is like an infant, 1, 2, 3, maybe 4. And they're really just me. They can't really see beyond their needs. And then as the child matures and develops, they can begin to see and grasp beyond that. But unfortunately, if there is an emotional stunt or an interruption in how a person adequately makes it through the stages of development, they can stop right there. And they live their lives that way where they are just in that me stage. They're really self-absorbed. They just have a difficult time of connecting and seeing other people's emotions, experiences, etc. And if that is you, me, or I, you know, we're in trouble as it relates to just like kind of pulling it together. And it'll be really difficult to do things that can contribute to, you know, like I said, when you become an adult, it's really, and most adults know this, it really becomes less and less about just you, right? It becomes, there's a wider picture now, right? So now you've inshallah, you've developed enough, or you have at least the tools to be able to continue to do your maintenance with yourself. But now you have to develop children. Now you have to partner up and contribute to a wider vision or mission, which is in family and community, right? And so it's very difficult to be able to do any of those things that you should be doing in adulthood if you are constantly just connected to just yourself, right? And unfortunately, the way these times are moving, that's the programming that is just about me, and let's just do me, all of that. And that doesn't allow people to really function when it comes, especially that's why you see so many people, they're avoiding of relationships. They're really fearful of relationships. Because they're in the me self-absorbed stage, and that's what this sort of era promotes. And you can't, if you're in that stage, you can't really function in relationship. It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. So that's a big part of it as well. So subhanAllah, that's those are some of the reasons why. Now I want to talk a drop a little bit about the shifts, right? The shifts. And so when we look at our behaviors, again, we have our unconscious and conscious behaviors. And so our unconscious could be like things that are related to like things that we do on an impulse, or things that we we do on repeat, repetition, addictions, compulsions, etc. Right? These are behaviors that are manifested, right? But we're not too conscious as to the why. We're not even making a conscious decision. We're making a subconscious decision. But we're making a conscious decision to for that action or for that behavior to be manifested, right? It's deeply rooted or deeply connected to a deeper core belief. And it could be, you know, deeply connected to what's within our shadow. So these are the things that perhaps we're, is in our unconscious thoughts, and they may be parts of us that are more darker or more difficult or more challenging, and parts of us that we want to reject. And we don't want to come to the surface, but our behaviors communicate what's going on with us, or it's going on within us, or what our needs are. Like, so our behavior is always going to be that communication tool. And whether, you know, it's controlled behavior or it's behavior that's subconscious or unconscious, right? It's still going to be a reflection of what's going on within us. And so we're still going to behave in a certain way. Like, a person still may, you know, flip out, or a person, like even a behavior as simple as just procrastination, for example. Like, you may not be choosing to procrastinate or not get this task done or do that, right? You know, that may not be like a conscious, real decision. Nobody wants to just be, you know, not complete something that they need to complete. But procrastination is a behavior that may be present that is very indicative of something that's going on beneath the surface, right? Or a person just, you know, constantly, what was another one, is just maybe overspending, for example, right? Or being compulsive as it relates to spending, compulsive as it relates to just how they spend their time or whatever, like things that, like I said, you're not intentionally making a choice around, but it is a present behavior. It's still a behavior. It's still a behavior. And so, you know, typically, I'm going to give you a couple things that I typically give clients. So it's just a little teaser. But if you want to go deeper and you want to actually do the work, you can contact me. But typically, you know, when we're looking at our shadow and we want to do like just step it into to our shadow and what's kind of happening in our unconscious or an unconscious realm within us, typically I like to look at a couple of different areas. And I like to look at how a person, what a person's programming, learned behavior is, their current behavior, and some of their, you know, their feelings of like projection and rejection around these certain areas of life. So the number one would be faith, your relationship with faith, what you believe in, your creator, etc., right? So looking at what were you taught? What did you see modeled? What was offered to you, right, as you developed? And then like, where are you at with your faith? What do you believe in? Like, what are some of your thoughts, right? And then like, what are some of the things you reject as it relates to faith? What are some of the things that I can clearly see by, you know, maybe us, you know, a little bit of probing of maybe what you would project, right? What are you projecting out as it relates to your faith? So faith is one, money is another, sex, love are big ones, right? You know, what a person's relationship is with sex, with intimate love, with friendships, with parenting, with conflict, that's a big one. How a person was modeled, taught conflict, how a person's behavior is during conflict. And like I said, the things you reject, right? You may think like, oh, I'm not an aggressive person, or I'm not avoidant as in conflict. I'm not conflict avoidant. You know, I handle conflict right on. Or like, I don't think it's, you know, I don't like to confront people. I don't like to make people upset, and I don't like to argue, all of that. Like, those are kind of rejections that have a deeper meaning as it relates to like what you truly believe as it relates to conflict. Do you have a healthy relationship with conflict? Do you have a healthy relationship with how you view women, how you view men, how you feel, how you view love, how you view money, right? What is your relationship with all of these things? What are you projecting? What are you rejecting? And what are you literally submitting to, right? What is your behaviors around these things? How do you show up with it? And typically that's a huge indicator as to what is brewing beneath the surface with people when people begin to analyze these areas of their lives. Because again, like I said, our behaviors, everybody's not sitting down and going through your day and reflecting on your behaviors. It's a good practice, but most people are not doing that. But honestly, as the Muslim, we are supposed to be, because that's why we have this beautiful practice of Toba, where we're returning. We're supposed to go back to Allah and repent for all the mistakes and errors we made in our day, right? We should be actively in the constant practice of it. And there's things like, we have this dua where it's like, you know, Ya Allah, forgive me for the actions I did knowingly and unknowingly, right? There is a fundamental belief that we have in our faith that there's going to be things we've done that we are conscious of, and there's going to be things we've done that we're not conscious of, right? And Allah allows grace and mercy to those things. But the slippery slope, the reason why we can't just be like, well, if I didn't know, you know, Allah's going to forgive me. The reason why we can't just go with that is because when you look at behavior and how it works, you know, behavioral patterns and habits contribute, can be easily formed as it relates to what you have on repeat. So if I'm a constant procrastinator, let's just say, for example, I'm a procrastinator, right? Unconscious behavior, not really thoughtful about it, don't know when it's happening, don't know why, right? But now I'm procrastinating with my prayer. Now I'm procrastinating with my salat, right? And one second, let me respond to this. Oh gosh, this text is like, it throws me off when people text me and I'm trying to do a live. Oh gosh. Sorry. Yeah, so now I'm procrastinating with my prayer, right? Because it's now I have a habit. It's on repeat, right? It's you know, it's not something I'm intentionally doing. It's not something I choosing for myself, but it is a repetitive now behavior, and now it is impacting and being reflective of. It's now becoming Sabria. Sabria is a person that just procrastinates. She just waits to the last minute to do stuff, or she just doesn't get stuff done. She doesn't fulfill her obligations in the time span that Lust Bones Island instructed her to. Now we have a problem. Now we can't simply say, you know, oh, you know, well, it's, you know, it's something, you know, I don't even know why I'm doing it, or I don't mean no harm, or I'm not intentionally doing something, or etc. But it's a behavior that's on repeat. And typically, behaviors that are really harmful or behaviors that are deeply connected to our inner shadows, the things that we're attempting to like reject and hide and avoid that is already ever present within us, typically these are going to be behaviors that are going to be on repeat, right? And they're going to become habits, may even become compulsions and addictions, but they're going to be things that are going to be ever present in our lives, right? If I'm always cussing and fussing, right? I'm always cussing and fussing. I'm always just, you know, I mean, like sometimes I'm conscious of it, sometimes I'm not, and I'm not really dealing with the fact that I'm, you know, aggressive and I'm angry and I have this unresolved stuff within me, right? That's going to be something that's going to be on repeat, and it's also going to have a huge bearing on who I am as a person. The person who I'm becoming and what I'm attracting into my life, right? Wa alaikum salam. Okay, all right. So, you know, so that's, I wanted to speak to that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the shift. This is really important when we look at behavior, okay? So when you look at behavior, you have a behavior that is harmful that you want to shift or you want to change. Let's say I like to chew gum. Like I have a really serious compulsion about chewing ice and chewing gum. It's not a good habit, right? There's a many harmful effects that I've experienced and can experience as a result of this habit. And it's not a real conscious behavior. It's not a behavior I like. It's a compulsive behavior. And it's deeply connected with like an angst, a nervousness, an anxiety is deeply connected with that, right? I've used that as a way to cope, right? I used to be a very anxious person and kind of fearful, especially when it came to like public speaking and social interactions. Like I was more, that was kind of my early experience, but me overcoming that, you know, or supporting myself through it, I should say, came with some coping behaviors, some great, some good and healthy and good, and some not so good. So one of the not so good ones is like, you know, my obsession with chewing. Or when I get really nervous or something's really heavy on my mind, I chew. Alhamdulillah, it's not so much of a behavior anymore because, you know, we can always shift these patterns and behaviors. The first number one rule is when you see a behavior you want to shift, or let's just say, for example, your partner, you're offering support, you're showing up in relationship, you're single, you're noticing something about yourself, or just, you just want to shift, man. You just want to shift, right? You want to move from a space of avoidance and procrastination and fear, and you want to move to a space of more power and alignment and introspection, curiosity, and honestly, surrender. Surrender and submission is the ultimate high of all of this. Like, it's the ultimate behavior, right, that we want to achieve, because at the end of the day, that really allows you to be divinely guided. So the first number one rule is do not try to just change the behavior, okay? So I gave an example, like to chew, right? It's compulsive. I do it consciously when I'm aware, unconsciously when I'm not aware. I'll grab, you know, a couple of ice. I used to need to do it excessively. I'm not going to just abruptly try to change that behavior, right? Or if I'm a procrastinator, I'm just going to change. I'm just going to go cold turkey and stop. Why? Because a change behavior without changing the root won't be sustainable. I can do that. I can totally just change it. I can just stop. that's fine. It can work for a while, but will it be sustainable? I haven't addressed the root of it. I still have an anxiety. I still have an angst. That's the behavior is resulted from something. It's a result of something much deeper. My procrastination has more to do with maybe the pain that I've experienced when mama left. Not me, I'm just giving an example. Or the pain from my divorce, right? I now have the behavior of procrastination. I don't even connect the two. I'm not aware of it. I'm not conscious of it. I have no consciousness around the root of the behavior. I just don't like the behavior. I want to change it. So you can definitely just change the behavior without looking deeper, but it won't be sustainable. That's not a sustainable, typically, behavioral change. And Allah's mercy is profound, and He can shift anybody at any moment in an instance. So we give all glory to the Most High. But typically, there are habits and behaviors that are going to contribute to a sustainable change. And we see that offered to us by what was given to us as our spiritual practices. If we really look deeply, what spirit of the Muslim has to pray 5 times a day, minimally. Why? It's a behavior and an intentional action. And it becomes the cornerstone of the person's life. If you are praying 5 times a day and this is your habit, this is your behavior, this is something that you're doing, it's going to be a lot of things you can't do in those 5 times of the day. It's going to be a lot of things you're not able. I'm not able to go, you know, maybe smoke a blunt or whatever if I'm praying, right? If I have to make wudu, it becomes a habit. And so, you know, it's not just like, okay, we just gonna stop, you know, you just stop smoking weed, don't have sex, don't, you know, that's not, it's just not offered like that. We're told not to do, but we're also giving practices that we have to do in order to sustain ourselves, because that's how you have a permanent behavioral shift and change. And behavioral, when you shift patterns and when you shift behaviors, you shift yourself, you show up differently. Right? Because you're not engaged in things that are harming you. You're engaged in things and habits that are helping you. And so when we deal with behavioral modification, the first thing we do is we approach the behavior, the problematic behavior, with curiosity. We're curious about it. I don't necessarily see, you know, if I'm working with someone's behavior, let's say if someone is sex addict, right? They have compulsions around sex. Can't stop. Don't know why. Don't know what's going on with that. Okay. I realize that's a very harmful behavior. There's no question about that, right? And absolutely, that's a behavior that's severe, and we need to shift that as soon as freaking possible. But still, the approach to it has to be with a realm of curiosity. Why? Because there is a very deep root there, and if you don't attack that root, there is no way a person is going to be able to sustain a very real behavioral change around sex. They're not going to be able to do that. It's an addiction. It's a compulsion. Now it's intertwined in their programming. Now you have to be reprogrammed. But how are you going to be reprogrammed without attacking the root, which is the core belief attached to that action? Okay? So now I'm curious about. I'm really curious, right? You know, people come to me, you know, I've had clients, I've had people that say, you know, I have a sex addiction, you know, et cetera. I'm curious about it. It's not like, oh my gosh, I'm a Muslim. Oh my God, you know, stuff along. Like, you got to stop right now. Even though in my heart, of course, you crave that for the person, but I want sustainable change, right? And so that's why, you know, the people would come to Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they would say, y'all, Rasulullah, I did X, Y, and Z, I did that. He would say, go, you know, go feed 60 people, right? And every, you know, we know some offenses, there's, you know, an immediate consequence. And I'm not speaking of those. I'm talking when they would go to Rasulullah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about certain behaviors. And he would say, go feed 60 people, go free a slave, go, like, why, right? You're doing because, you know, subhanAllah, it's not just about stopping the behavior. It's about rectifying the root and offering an alternative. So step one is approach it with curiosity. Okay. And so if this is for you, or even this is, you know, someone you're supporting, your person you with, you know, it should be approached with curiosity, introspection, thought, you know, just going deeper, love, compassion, right? So that the root can be identified, right? SubhanAllah. And then number two, which is really important. So whenever we deal with behavior modification, so in a behavior analytical world, we look at what we call reinforcers. So we have positive reinforcers in the brain, negative reinforcers, and we have intermittent reinforcers. And so our positive reinforcers tend to, based on our studies, you know, but they tend to have, we tend to lean more to positive reinforcers as a tool to use for sustainable behavioral change because they have a more long-lasting effect. Right. And so a negative reinforcer, which would be the punishment, the consequence, that they are equally as effective, but they may not always contribute to a sustainable change. Right. They may not always and it may not always be sustainable. Right. It's just like, you know, when you got your butt beat as a kid, you know, you get a beating for something, it'll stop the behavior for a minute. And for some people, it may stop it altogether. It might. But typically people that were acting and cutting a fool, they had to get many beatings. They had to get many whoopings, okay, before they got their whole life, right? But a person who's being impacted positively, like, right, they have an alternative behavior to go to. They are being reinforced in a positive way in a sense of, like, they see a change in their lives, or maybe they're receiving or their outcome shifts. Or, like, for example, if, you know, a person, no, like, let's, we go back to the sex addiction. And I don't want to simplify sex addiction. It's very deeply layered. So don't think I'm simplifying a very complex issue that requires a lot of interventions and support, okay? Speaking on this very, 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 almost a little bit haphazardly. So for a person who wanna shift that type of addiction permanently, right? So there's probably a fundamental need there beneath the surface, and there's probably some really deeply layered core beliefs as it relates to their relationship with themselves, trauma, all kinds of things that contribute to that sort of compulsive behavior. And again, it's probably an addiction to the dopamine rush and the feeling of probably feeling. The person is probably engaged in a lot of numbing behaviors outside of the act of sex. And so they need an alternative behavior that gives them a similar positive outcome, but then they need to see how the shift and the change, because it's reinforced positively, results in some sort of positive change in their life. They feel better. They're no longer numb. Maybe they're finally getting to experience connection, real love, etc. That's a sustain, like, that's motivating. That's motivating to keep on that path, right? Like, right, if I shifted or changed something and mashallah, I'm being positively reinforced, I want to keep that in my life, right? Right? And likewise, if I get a consequence, I want to avoid that consequence and I want to avoid that trouble. But sometimes that, you know, that consequence and that negative reinforcer has to, you know, it has to be kind of more, it either has to be very severe or it has to be more consistent for it to, like I said, sustain. Like, it can't just be like a one-time thing, right? So anyway, I don't want to get too complex in that world. But what I'm saying is that the next one would be replacing or providing an alternate behavior for the problematic behavior, right? A lot of healing for us is in the opposite of what is harming us, okay? Listen to me. A lot of our healing, we talk about healing all the time, and I gotta do all this work, and I talk like that too, okay? But I'm gonna say this. A lot of it is found in its opposite, the opposite of what is harmful to us and what has caused us massive pain, right? If, let's just say codependent behavior, running after somebody, chasing fools, begging, pleading, fawning, neglecting ourselves is what got our hearts broken, okay, while we're broken. Our healing is probably going to be found with the opposite of that harm, of those behaviors. Not to do the same thing. Oh, let me just do it a little bit more this time. No. It's found in the opposite. So perhaps I constantly chase people, okay? Now I probably need to stay right here in my place. I need to sit really still. I need to be really a good person. I need to be a loving person, honorable person. I need to have boundaries. But I don't need to be running after anything or anybody. I need to do the opposite of that. Instead of running, I need to be still, right? Instead of being numb, I need to be present. Instead of being procrastinating or waiting, I need to be someone who does things immediately. There's some people that train themselves, right, to do things immediately, right? Like, a lot of times if you text me, somebody, you know, I have 3 billion jobs. So people will text and ask for something. I say, wait. I'm putting it in my calendar right now. Wait, I'm going to respond to this text right now. Okay, or if I think I have to respond right now, because if not, I'm going to be on Sunday. I have to do it immediately, right? That's my training. Like that's me trying to do the opposite of procrastinating. Because anybody that knows me well know that they can text me or send me a message. And if I don't do it right away, child, I will forget, because there'll be a lot of other things happening. It's not that I'm neglectful of you. It's just that's Sabria. And I'll procrastinate. And I'll say, oh, I'll get back to that. And I never will. You know what I mean? Or I'll meet up with you or whatever it is. That's me. So it's like it kind of has to, I have to train myself, and it doesn't always work. But the healing is found in its opposite. And so when we look at modifying a behavior or shifting a behavior, we're attempting to shift, find an alternative behavior. And this is also a very spiritual principle. Like I said, I learned recently, and I spoke about this recently, is that, you know, a lot of, like I said, even Islamically, when we are talking about shifting or changing or moving from the sinful or from the haram to the halal, moving from, you know, the scale of bad to good or however you define it, it's a lot of times it's found in its opposite. It's found in its opposite. And when we are modifying behavior in children, we never just stop, at least people in my field, we never just stop, just don't do the behavior. Never. That's never the way we modify the behavior, because the goal is to make a sustainable change in the child. So we're given an alternative behavior. And when you do this alternative behavior, we're positively reinforcing it. You may receive a negative reinforcer from doing the harmful behavior, okay? Because reinforcers have to be there. We have to reinforce what we want to see. We may give you a consequence if you say, for example, you're a kid that has an issue with hitting. You hit, negative consequence. But I'm also just as fast, especially for a little child, right? Let's say instead of hitting, I want you to like grab my hand. Like you always want to smack me. I want you to instead, I'm going to teach you the alternative behavior, because I know at the core it's touch. At the core it's attention. So I'm going to change that behavior. Maybe I'm going to have you grasp my hand, or maybe I'm going to have you grasp my shoulder instead. That's the replacement behavior. It's not harmful, right? It's or a hug, right? Instead. So as you may receive that consequence for hitting, just as fast, I'm going to modify it by grasping your hand, by quickly shifting it to the alternate positive behavior I want to see. And then I'm going to positively reinforce you for doing it. That's a child. That's a child that you're training, right? A very young child that you're attempting to develop, their brain is developing. For an adult, it's a little bit more complex, but it's the same concept. Right? We need alternative behaviors, and we need them quickly as a replacement behaviors for a harmful one, right? Something just happened to me. I want to do something. I want to go chew just as quickly as I want to chew. My replacement behavior has to be there for me to support me, right? And that's kind of how you kind of shift the behaviors. But what's important is that the reason why we address the root first, we explore with curiosity first, is because whatever the alternative behavior that you're providing or offering yourself, it has to contribute to the same function. So for example, if I am procrastinating because I am attempting to escape, okay? I want to escape doing anything. I want to escape the task. I have a deeply rooted fear of failure. I have a deep insecurity about myself, about my capability. I'm dealing with imposter syndrome, whatever it may be, on a deeper level. But the function, the why, is I'm trying to escape it. Okay. So whatever it is I'm given as an alternative behavior has to also solve that function. It also has to be a form of healthy escape. I hope that makes sense. I go really deep in this. I'm sorry. I get in my bag. I apologize. All right, where are you guys at? Okay. All right, Brother Solomon said, by the looks of these beautiful comments, we are all aware of the problem. Now we have to focus on the fix-it plan. But in order to do that, we first have to acknowledge what the problem is. Allah has placed men into a much larger role than us men even realize. This lack of knowledge of this role has caused society to be in the predicament that we're in as people. Black men, take back your families. Exactly. And like I said, if you want to shift, you can shift. If you want to shift, you can shift. You know, and a lot of times what gets in the way is our ego. It's our ego. We're telling ourselves, well, I'm depressed, or I can't, or you know, I'm a black man, I'm a black woman, and it's because of the society. We give ourselves excuses. There's a fundamental rule when you deal with shadow work, is that where there are excuses, there is the presence of a shadow. right? There's a presence of something that's deeply rooted in your unconscious that you're attempting to hide, which means that the excuse isn't the real truth. That's not the excuse. I mean, excuse me, that's not the fundamental truth of your why. There's something more deeper that you don't want to come to the surface. You got it stifled. But where there are excuses, there's a presence of a shadow. And so a lot of times, you know, and with that, we just become curious. Why? You know, what's, you know, when I start thinking, when I start making a lot of excuses, that's a call for me to be curious. Go deeper. I can't do this. I do that. Or she did that. Or he did that. And it's because of that. That's why I'm doing this. Or it's because of this. That's why that's happening. Those are excuses. And I'm not saying that there's no validity in the excuse. But what I'm saying is that there's something deeper. There's something much deeper with a whole bunch of excuses as to why you can't, cannot, why it's like this, why I can't have a job, why I can't, you know, there's a lot more, right? And it just requires, you know, curiosity and introspection. And like Brother Solomon said, you know, you can't, I'm sorry, I don't care. People always say, Sabri, why do you always talk about the problem? I'm not always talking about the problem. It's because, like, if you're not willing to be conscious or aware, forget about it. What are we doing here? We're not going to shift anything that's going to be sustainable, okay? That's not going to happen. You have to be able to address and deal with the very real root. And sometimes you got to say it on repeat until people get it, until we get it, until I get it. I have to say it over and over, even to myself, because the more conscious I am, the more I can move into a space of where I'm making a conscious choice to shift. I may not think, I remember living in a place, or someone sharing with me rather, they're living in a place or a town or a city or state, keep it ambiguous. And in this state, you know, nobody really practices Islam, for example. This is a Muslim, right? They don't really practice. It's more social, things like that. And they were raised a certain way. They were raised to, you know, pray, fast, you know, be a part of community, strive, you know, work on yourself, work on your heart. Like, that's how they were raised. And then in this town or in this place, nobody, like, that's all foreign. And, you know, you can't say, you know, it's just, there's no, like, out implementation of faith. It's just very, very social and cultural. And, you know, being around that environment for a while really affected or really impacted that person's behavior. They don't even know why now they're not praying. They don't even know why. It just became habits over a course of time that you weren't conscious of. And even when you started going down that slippery slope, instead of addressing it, you made excuses. Oh, I don't want to be judgmental. Oh, everybody's going through stuff. Oh, I, you know, you don't really got to do. Or I don't think it's, or that don't seem right. Right? Slippery slope. Instead of catching yourself and say, hold on now, let me look deeper into this. Let me see why I'm feeling this way. Let me see why I'm shifting. And that excuse is there. So again, you know, where there are excuses, there's a presence of a shadow. All right. Sister Allen was said, because something else will show up if you don't deal with the root. Oh, that part too. Thank you for adding that layer. Exactly. Right? Because you may stop one harmful behavior only to birth, because there's always going to be a compensating behavior. There's always going to be behavior to compensate the function, that like the root, right? So if I'm desperately seeking attention or needing attention, you know, I may stop one harmful behavior, but the birth of another one may be birthed instead of like a healthy behavior to meet that need, right? For example. So you're absolutely right about that. This one. Conscious One said, no, it should be fear of law. Do I ask Allah for forgiveness and to be freed from things of this world and strengthened to stay away from the worldly things by fighting against nafs and shaitan? Salat, salat, five times a day. Strengthen us. Bismillah. Very, 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 very true. But even with these, like, yeah, I mean, subhanAllah, that those are our tools that we were given. But I will also say that there are many Muslims that do these acts. The duties, you know, we're engaged in these acts, but there's still a lack of functionality there. There's a lack of ability to like function in a family, function in a marriage, function, you know? And that's why, you know, this way of life, it's not just a religion, this way of life is very holistic. You know, it's about developing the whole human being. And sometimes, you know, people need to go deeper and you know, really understand, like I said, the root of what's plaguing them. Because the reason why I started this conversation is because, like, again, there's this really serious concern out there with people not really having suitable matches or partners to find in marriage. And it's not because of people aren't there, it's because people aren't functioning at their capacity in a way that allows them to be contributors to a family, right? That's a huge concern right now. It's on the minds of most people who are single. It's a concern for people who research and study the trends of are people marrying, are people not, or is family still happening, is community life still happening? It's a huge concern, and a lot of it has to do with people's willingness to be functional, to really adult. I one of my loved ones said, like, you know, we're dealing, they work with sort of like in inner cities with community members, especially when it relates to like marriage and people finding partners. And they said, like, we're just dealing with like a whole generation of people who haven't been parented. Like, you know, people that still are yearning to be parented, you know? I mean, we can talk all about this. Some of this may sound really foreign from a person that just didn't receive the love and proper bonding from mama or from daddy, or just didn't have the upbringing that contributed to allow them to see what functional life looks like or feels like, right? And so, you know, I'm talking about shadow work and all of that. It may be a foreign concept, but one thing I will say is that behavior is behavior. Everybody understands that they have behaviors, and you can start there. You can start there. You know the behaviors that you have, and start really small. Start being small, and it also really empowers you. I don't really like that word, but it does give you a sense of like, I'm back in the driver's seat of my own life. I'm not just being controlled by my trauma or my childhood or my past or my pain or my issues. I have some say about this, right? With the help and support of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his guidance. But I have some say, like, I can shift it if I choose to, and there are ways to do it, right? And so we don't always have to succumb to this. We don't always have to just, you know, I just can't, I just can't, you know, I can't work, you know, I can't work, or I can't, you know, can't do it. I can't, you know, it's just a lot. It's a lot, and it's sad, you know, even just like, I don't understand. I think there's this idea, or there's this thought of like, you know, people are like, well, why can't I just, you know, why is it so difficult to just find somebody? Why can't people just accept people for where they are? And, you know, it's coming from people who are not really functioning well. They're not really functioning well. And it's like, come on. Like, we, you know, I'm sorry, when it involves children and people's lives and people's health, they have to be, they have discernment. They can't, you know, you gotta have discernment. You can't just, I'm gonna partner up, you know, with the person who's, you know, never been able to, you know, sustain anything functional in their whole life and hope that things get better. I mean, that's very risky, right? That's very risky. But it's like I said, there is an option. There's an option for us to decide to do better. We can just decide that. We can just make a choice today. I'm gonna do better, right? I'm gonna do better. All right, guys, y'all know I can go in a little bit of a bag. All right, I'm gonna wrap this up. I'm done. But I wanted to end with this point, okay? Oh, sorry, I didn't finish. I'm sorry. So approach with curiosity, replace with the opposite. My last point, with shifting or creating permanent behavior change, is teach what you need to learn. This is really important. I have found this to be a powerful tool. And there is this very harmful concept out there that says that, you know, if you, like those that do should only be, or those that lead, I should say, should only be those who've met some sort of idealistic ideal of what success is, okay? And stay with me with this. You know, subhanAllah, you know, subhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mashallah, he was chosen before birth, our beloved. May Allah be pleased with him. And his prophethood began when he was really, you know, at the beginning, right? You know, we know that. But, you know, he was leading, teaching, and guiding people as he received, you know, revelation. As he received revelation, he was sharing. And, you know, there's a power and wisdom in that. And I do I think that when people have experiences and when people are going through changes and shifts and they're evolving, you know, one of the things that has really contributed to me being very sustainable with some of my shifts is the accountability that comes with bringing other people with you, okay? Meaning that I don't wanna just shift for me so I can be better and I can be happy. I want everybody to shift with me. I want everybody. Sabria isn't a person that figured it all out and now she's coming on here teaching you guys something because she's a master at her craft. That would be a bold-faced lie, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may have granted me or any of you, subhanAllah, that come on here and share some sort of knowing, understanding, gift, and Allah knows best, right? If that's pure and that's divinely from Him, and we pray that it is. But, you know, the beautiful thing, if you can take that and you could take people with you on your journey, right? Don't just want it for you, want it for everybody. Want it for your kids, your mama, your sisters, the random person on the street. You want it for everybody. And to me, I have found that as being a powerful a tool that has contributed to long-lasting behavioral sustainability and accountability, because it's not just now me, everybody's watching me too, right? Now everybody's watching me too. Like, for example, you know, shifting codependent behaviors was really big for me. It took a while, had some really, you know, knee-jerking type of things that happened in my life that told me I had to shift that. But I took people with me, right? I'm taking people with me. Now I'm accountable, right? We're all in this together, right? It ain't just me. If I fail, we all fail, right? Like, so that's another part of sustainable change. And we do that, and even when we were modifying that and young people, is like, you know, once they sort of grasp something, we want them to, you know, sort of model that to others. We want them to become beacons for others. We want them to not just shift themselves, but to shift all those around you. And I think that's a fundamental part about sustainable behavioral change. And sometimes that's the thing. People need a little bit of inspiration and motivation to do something or to stick with it, especially people that's just like, oh, I'm so, you know, I've got so much going on, or they just don't even think any of this stuff is worth their time. Sometimes you need your little son that's looking up at you, or your little daughter that's looking up at you, or the community member in the street that's looking at you with hopeful eyes of some sort of inspiration or some sort of modeling to check you. It ain't about you. It ain't about you. It ain't about our ego. It ain't about what feels good, right? It ain't about that, because in the instant, we could be dust and dirt. In the instant, we could be in the next realm, right? SubhanAllah. But if you can impact change, if you can impact fundamental change in another human being, if you could take somebody with you, not only, I'm telling you, I promise you, SubhanAllah, it's a huge secret, okay? Not secret necessarily, but it's a huge thing I learned. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will unshackle you in a way just from you having good intentions to unshackle others, right? Or to assist someone else, or to be a good example for someone else, or to help model for someone else, right? And not from a place of ego or arrogance. This is important. This is important, because sometimes we be like, you know, yeah, I mean, I'm gonna be the coach, or I'm gonna be leading somebody. I don't, that's why I don't even like, you know, introducing myself like that. Because it's, you know, subhanAllah, like, may Allah keep us always humble and purify our intentions and keep us doing it for Allah. You know, one thing I want to share this reflection. I got to share this with you guys. So this right here, okay, this right here is a logo. I'm being very honest and transparent, so stay with me, okay? Safe space. This right here became my logo, I don't know, 2 years ago, okay? When you look at it, what do you see? You see Sabria, right? I mean, let's just keep it a whole buck. When I started Dope Muslim Woman, this was not my branding at all, okay? It was something totally different. And in fact, when I did a lot of my initial branding, it was about like a group of people, right? Because the Dope Muslim Woman, DOPE is an acronym for determined to overcome pain and elevate. DOPE isn't like I'm fly, I'm bad, I'm like, that's never what it was. Someone, oh God. Someone offered this to me. And it was, you know, it's beautiful. Like, it's a beautiful logo. I love it. I'm not gonna lie. I do like it a lot. And may Allah bless the graphic designer who did it. But the idea, the concept of it didn't come from me. It wasn't even rooted in my intentions. And it was this really, I had this huge epiphany like a few days ago. And actually, you know, one of my loved ones pointed it out to me. And they, and because, you know, I always go through this like introspection of what I'm doing and why am I doing it? Because Lord knows, I just don't want to do haphazard, random stuff, right? And we talked about this, right? We talked about this, and we talked about how, you know, subhanAllah, man, sometimes how, you know, we can get off track with our intentions. We can get off track with our intentions. And even some people, we can allow people to contribute to that. And I bring this up because this isn't indicative of the intentions of the dope Muslim woman. I like it. Don't lie. My nafs likes it. But this has to go away. This has to go away. Because the intentions of the dope Muslim woman isn't about the elevation of Sabria or whatever this is, whatever this means. It's about the contribution and the elevation of all of us. And maybe out of Allah's mercy, through some of it, He'll be merciful to me, right? Like, maybe through it, out of His grace and out of His bounty and out of His mercy, He will be merciful to me. Because when I was really off track, right? There was a time where I was like, and this is me being really transparent. I was like, I don't know if Allah is still with me. I don't know if Allah is still with me. Because it was just so much stuff happening. It was people in my life that shouldn't have been in my life. It was things happening. Got caught up in this. Like I said, you got to be careful. Language matters. Images matters. It matters. So that's, inshallah, going to go away. I like it, though. But it's going to go away. May Allah help us. Because I was off track, right? But what he offered me, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala offered me, because Allah's mercy is very real. You have to just believe in it. You have to have your eyes open just a little bit to be able to see it. But what He offered me is He offered me the ability and to be able to reach other people. Like I said, somehow through that grace, I had some mercy extended on me. Reach other people. And through that process, I, subhanAllah, I could literally see, you know, from going from a place where I don't know if Allah is still with me to like the presence of my Creator was everywhere, right? The things that were harmful got removed out of my life. The shifts began to happen. People began to, you know, really like that one-to-one working with individuals, and all of that began to blossom and bloom, and it became real meaningful, real impactful. And, you know, never give up hope is what I want to say. Never give up hope, even if you're dysfunctional, even if you're dark, even if you think you're dark, rather, even if you got off track, even if you got caught up in the ego stuff, even if you got in a sense of inflated, it doesn't, a sense of you being inflated or your ego being inflated or whatever it is, or you just started hanging with the wrong people, being with the wrong people, you got in the wrong type of relationship, right? You don't never lose hope, because let me tell you something, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His promise is true. It doesn't matter. They can tell you all day, there ain't no good brothers out there. There ain't no good sisters out there. Everybody gay thing, you're going to have to deal with that. You're going to take this type of marriage. Don't believe, accept any of it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His promise is very, very true. His presence is constant. And even when you think like, man, subhanAllah, like this is it. Allah ain't never going to show His favor on me again. Why would He? It's so much, many more people that deserve it other than me, right? That's shame talking. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always, for the person who returns back to Him, will always be there, right? Always be there, right? The places that I came from to the places I am in now is such a polar opposite, right? You never give up faith. And His bounty, don't you ever restrict it. Don't you ever restrict it for yourself, okay? I bear witness to it. I am a living example of going from, you know, I would say rock freaking bottom, okay, to a place where I'm like, I don't even understand why, like, I don't even understand how I'm here. I don't even understand how I'm in this person's presence. I don't even understand why, like, I don't even understand this bounty and this mercy and this grace, right? Allah's promise is true. Allah's promise is true. And so I want to just say, man, stay on the course. I don't care how dysfunctional people have told you you are or how dysfunctional you tell yourself that you are. I promise you, when you turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will give you the tools. He will give you the tools. But there has to be an element of humility in that. It has to be an element of humility because you're going to miss the freaking lesson. You're going to miss the lesson if the ego's running the show. You gotta have a level of humility. And sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He'll put you in rock bottom so that you can get the lesson. Because you have to be humble in order to be open to it, right? So don't think that whatever it is or whatever your situation is or whatever the case or wherever you come from, your trauma, your pain, your childhood trauma, your issues, your husband was abusive, you was with a narcissist, whatever all those situations are, there is a way out of it all. And there is elevation on the other side of it if you believe in it. And if you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His promise is true. So waqul Allah, reliance on the Creator, that everything that I have comes from Him. And I stand firm in it. And I don't have any shame in admitting that I came from this low point to now being able to talk to all of you with authenticity, with honesty, with no shame, right? It's because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His promise is true. His promise is true, right? And so, you know, even if folks can't get it together, child, even if folks can't give it together, you put it and you surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and either He will remove that which isn't good for you and replace it with that which is better. Okay, you got to believe in that one, right? And replacing it with that which is better may be in the form of a person or it may not be. But that belief has to be there. Allah doesn't just replace stuff. He doesn't just take away and doesn't offer, okay? He removes and He replaces. He removes and He replaces. But what's the prerequisite? The prerequisite is submission and surrender. You still control and running the ship? You know better? You know better. Things could be removed and shifted, but you might be stuck for a while, right? Surrender and submission is a huge prerequisite, right? He removes and replaces that which is better. It's a beautiful thing. I love you guys radically. I really do. I really do. And I'm thankful to you guys. I'm genuinely thankful to the Dope Muslim Woman podcast family. This is more than just a podcast, a platform. Sabria just coming on over here running her mouth. But hopefully, inshallah, this is a place where we can pivot into action and transformation and change. And anything that's not good or we go too far with, right? That Allah catches us and brings us back. But if the core is submission and surrender, inshallah ta'ala, Allah is there. Allah is there. And what I mean you got to stop trying to control everything. You got to stop trying to control everything and everyone. You single, you want to get married, stop trying to control everything. Stop thinking you know everything, right? There's a level of submission, surrender that has to come in a process. And through that surrender and submission, Allah will give you the discernment that is necessary and needed to navigate your situation. But don't be arrogant, right? Don't think that, okay, if I control this situation, I'm going to get this outcome. Allah will show you really fast that He controls the outcomes, that He's the controller, that He's the one in charge. That's been my biggest lesson of my life. Sometimes you got to submit and surrender. And, and I leave you with that. I know you guys said a lot. I need to get up off of here because I'm thirsty. I love you guys. Jazakallah khairan. All right, inshallah, we'll touch base soon. We have a couple of lives coming up, pre-show lives, coming up before we start in January. I'm really excited about these. I'll announce them once they're fully confirmed with the people, but I think we have two more before we start our series, the Dope Muslim Single Experience. But, I'm committed to going deeper with this, I want to go deeper, man. I don't want it to just be about matchmaking. Cause first of all, I don't have hope in matchmaking. Let me tell y'all something. I don't have a hope in matchmaking without intensive work. I'm not, if I just go up here and be like, come on, y'all, I'm put you sis, and I'm put you bro together. That's not indicative of the Dope Muslim Woman. And that's not reflective enough, or that's not even conscious enough of what's really happening in these days and times. I believe in matchmaking, but with a level of work. So we're going to have some cohorts started. And inshallah, support one another in the tools necessary so that matchmaking can be comprehensive and can be thoughtful and could be something that offers some level of hope and success, not just a bunch of randoms that have been in cycles and patterns or going to single functions for years, or cycle and patterns that haven't been rectified and fixed, partnering up once again. That's not going to do anybody any good, okay? And so we're going to be thoughtful about this. So pay attention and, you know, to the intentional messages through a lot of the podcasts and shows. And I know a lot of people are just like, okay, hopefully, you know, we can just find a suitable match. And I do believe, I think anytime Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts a firm intention in my heart, I haven't seen it not being manifested or doesn't result in something. But I do think the way we go about it has to be non-traditional. It can't be the typical way that people do matchmaking in single events. I don't think those things have been successful. And it's because people are not fixing them. They're just thinking, oh, okay, let me just go out here and, like, you know, I mean, yeah. So again, we're calling people to functional and healthy, and that requires a little bit of support through that. So work with me, be patient. If you've submitted your request through the inquiry, I'm going to be, you're going to receive a confirmation email before the end of the weekend. All right, take care. Assalamu alaikum.